Welcome to another Baseball America podcast. We've got an exciting episode for you. I'm Hudson Bolinski. Joining me, Teddy Cahill and Mike Lanana. We're going to talk Jupiter. Jupes. Guys, I guess first off, let's talk about the championship team, the Evo Shield Canes. Kind of dominated their way through the tournament. They allowed one run?
One run.
And they won the championship game. They are loaded with talent. High-end talent, early round talent. What did you guys think of the Canes?
Well, it's the Canes' third straight championship. That's unprecedented. No other team has even won back-to-back championships in Jupiter. As an organization, they're a force. I think you could at this point rename the tournament the Canes Invitational. It's really incredible what they've done. They had outstanding players. And in the championship game, the Canes played Team Evo Shield, which is just they're from the same organization. The Canes are the high school seniors for the most part. There were two juniors, and Team Evo Shield was the juniors. So they're set up well for the future, in addition to the fact that they've won three in a row. It really is an incredible organization, incredible run they've had the last few years. And this year, to only give up one run, they got, it was complete games in the final three knockout round games from their pitchers. Two of those were only five-inning games, but...
Because they run-rolled them.
Yeah. 9-0 in the final, 8-0 in the semifinals. Yeah. And the semifinal with GBG Marucci... the morning of the championship game, people were excited about that the night before. That looked like it would be a good matchup, and the Canes just ran all over them.
Yeah, the Canes were really impressive. Mike, what did you think of the Canes and your looks?
Yeah, no, I agree with what both of you have said. I mean, it's really, an all-star team there in Jupiter. You look at if you break down who the top prospects were, in the whole event, you're going to see a lot of Canes on that list for sure. And, it was kind of neat to see, Team Evo Shield, play the Canes in that championship game. It was very good for my Twitter pun game. I was calling it the Evo ship. The Canes are stacked, really in every position. The pitching obviously stood out just allowing the one run. But, you look at the position players that you have, guys that could be high draft guys. You look at Seth Beer, another, good pun name. Joe Rizzo had an excellent week, and, it was just a fun team to watch. It was clearly a class above. I think as early as, Friday on Saturday, we're all saying that we thought they were going to win the whole thing. So,
They're in the depth of their pitching. When you talk about a guy like Matt Cleveland, it was kind of uncertain when he was going to pitch because they didn't really necessarily, need him. And here's a high-end prospect that is kind of new to the team, and they're kind of not sure what they had, I guess. But he comes out in 90-93, decent breaking ball, and he's just one of the guys. Whereas you on a lot of these teams, that is the guy. So that just I think spoke to the depth. And then in the championship game with Stallings, he was lights out. He had three pitches. He was throwing for strikes. He had really good command at the zone. That whole team, to me, pick a player, and you can break them down. Whether it's Austin Langworthy, a left-handed hitter who just peppered everything to the opposite field. Nick Quintana, man, he smoked the ball all week. I remember one night on the Marlins complex. I think it was the night before. It was the first round of the playoffs. I was watching the Texas Scout Yankees. And Quintana hit a shot for the Canes on another field, and I looked up and saw it, and I was like, whoa, who hit that?
Yeah, that was the quarterfinals against the Ontario Blue Jays. And, Quintana's not one of their top hitters. He hit, sixth or seventh in that lineup, I think seventh. And, that was a rope.
Yeah, the thing was, Quintana's well-known for his bat. This is a guy who can hit and did it for Team USA, Tournament of Stars, all that. But the power with which he did it, I certainly wasn't aware of it until this week at Jupiter. And that kind of, I think, invites a whole discussion on what Jupiter is and like how it provides an opportunity, a final opportunity for players to show what they can do and scouts to kind of bear down on players they might want to follow in the spring. Who are, you know, some guys who stuck out to you who maybe you hadn't heard about, hadn't seen before, or heard about at the fields who sounded kind of impressive when you actually got down there, you know, kind of separate from the previous hall of information that we had going into the week down in Jupiter? Mike or Teddy, whoever wants to go for that first.
Yeah, I think, you know, one guy who I'd seen before, but at least to me took a step forward from what I saw him at the Area Code Games was Charles King, who, you know, he was up to 95, you know, he was a 6'5" righty. And you know, he looked really good. He was pitching, throwing an 8 a.m. start. You know, I was half awake. I don't know how he's throwing 95 miles per hour, you know, that early, but, you know, he looked strong. Brad Debo was someone that I thought looked good to me. He's a local guy here, another Canes guy. You know, again, it's hard not to pick from that Canes team. You know, I thought the Chicago Scouts Association team had some good guys. I thought their catcher, Rorvet, I think that's how you pronounce it.
Rorvet, yeah.
Yeah.
And Rorvet.
I think he had, you know, I tweeted this. I thought he had the biggest guns, you know, out there in Jupiter. I mean, he's ripped. He's a very physical catcher, and you know, he looked good to me. He stood out to me just seeing him out in the field. They had some pitching as well. Florida guy, you know, Nate Brown, who looked good to me. 90-91, had command in the bottom half of the strike zone.
Florida commit from Minnesota or Wisconsin?
I believe Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Yeah,
literally. I think the town's name is Heartland, so literally in the Heartland.
He was a nice one for this week. I mean, a guy who wasn't really on my radar yet, yeah. But impressed some people and certainly had some scouts circling his name for sure. Teddy, anybody for you? I know we talked about the previous few days, a certain left-handed hitter who can rake, and you got a chance to see quite a bit of this guy. Maybe we're looking at each other. I don't know if you're going to say the same guy I'm thinking of.
Well, at first when you said left-handed, I thought you were going to talk about the pitcher, who I will now talk about.
Oh, okay.
The Canes, for 2017, I already found a guy that I'm going to be really excited to watch next couple years down at Pope High School in Georgia, Ryan Webb, who's a kind of a command lefty with a really good changeup that he's pretty exciting, committed to Georgia already. But I believe you wanted me to mention Josh Lowe. That's his Pope teammate who was down there this week with the Braves scout team. And he is a two-way guy, but he's probably going to be a hitter ultimately. And I mean, he raked while he was down there, and I think he helped himself a lot.
Yeah.
I guess he's not left-handed, though. So
he's a left-handed hitter.
He is a left-handed hitter. He's not left-handed.
Lowe had a great week.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't pitch, which was disappointing for the audience, not necessarily for him. I mean, he had a heck of a week at the plate. He showed power, loose wrists, physical body, good frame, played third base pretty well, I thought. An interesting, really, really interesting player. And that Pope team has not only Lowe and has Webb, there's another, they have a right-handed pitcher who's going to Auburn. His name is escaping me right now. But that whole team, that team's really well built to succeed in 2016.
That was a playoff team this spring, and they, they went pretty deep in Georgia this year. So, I mean, they'll be a team to watch for sure. But the left-handed hitter that I now realize that you wanted me to talk about is Carlos Cortez, who actually is not on the board that you're pointing at right now. I don't know where you have Cortez. But Carlos Cortez is he's kind of a utility guy out of Oviedo, Florida. He played some outfield this spring. He's been more second base this summer. He told me he wants to go back to catching a little bit, which he did his first couple years of high school. But what Carlos Cortez really does is he just rakes. Like, I saw he was playing with the Mets scout team / Orlando Scorpions. I saw those guys play a few different times, and I was watching a couple fields at the same time as some of those games. But every time I looked over and Carlos Cortez was up, he was getting another hit. It was really incredible. His week was people knew he could hit, certainly, but like that was very impressive to see from the South Carolina commit. I spent most of my week watching Georgia and Florida kids primarily because that's who I focus on during the spring for draft stuff. But you know, those guys definitely stood out. But outside of that area, right-hander Skylar Sinski, who is playing for the Red Scout team, pitched very well. I think he definitely helped himself. He was sitting in the low 90s pretty comfortably and commanding his pitches well, which I guess was kind of his problem earlier in the summer, is that he wasn't pitching with as much command. But I think scouts that saw him, and there were a lot of them at the game that he pitched, they definitely got a good look at him. And so we'll see now. He's committed to Indiana, but he's been on the map. But that outing there in Jupiter was big for him.
Yeah, since he to do that in front of as many people as he did. Pitching at the same time as Drake Fellows, who was a couple fields away, and Fellows, I was watching at the time, Drake Fellows against Jordan Balasovic, a projectable right-hander from Canada. But Sinski, you know, I went back and looked at what we have in the database on him, and he's a guy who's been up to 95. The breaking ball reports are a little varying. Some put projected as above average pitch, some saw it as more fringy, but certainly a guy who has himself on the radar and is a guy we're going to have to follow up on going forward for sure. So beyond that, I guess who are some other players you guys want to talk about? I mean, we could go on all day. We could just look at the board right now. I'm kind of just organizing notes and stuff, so I have everything written on our whiteboard in our conference room here. Let's see, who's somebody we all had a chance to see a little bit?
I thought there's some interesting guys on the Astros scout team, FTB Tucci,
yeah,
Bo Bichette, and Dalvin Perez, and even Keenan Bell was a Florida commit who stood out to me. He had a couple of nice drives, homered.
Mm-hmm.
They're another team that you look at their lineup, it's it was pretty stacked. They had one game where they homered four times, and obviously looked very good.
Yeah, they were really impressive.
That team was probably one of the most prospected teams there, even including the Canes. They aren't quite as polished maybe as some of the other teams, but Delvin Perez is this Puerto Rican shortstop who's very impressive. There's some rough edges still.
I saw them a lot. I think I saw them play four or five games. I kind of wanted to sit on them and really figure them out as much as I could. Perez made, in my mind, I don't understand how anybody could have beaten it. The type of defensive play of the week, I think. He got a ball, kind of a slow grounder up the middle. If you're facing the pitcher, it was to the left, so it was towards him. Coming at it at shortstop, he charged. He dove, he gloved the ball, he did a somersault. The bases are loaded, I should tell you. The bases are loaded when he does this. He does a somersault, and you see the ball come out, and you're like, wait a minute. Did he just try to throw that ball home? And it's a slow throw, but right into the catcher's glove, like it was practiced, which who the heck practices that? But and just an incredible play. Kind of reminds you how good he was, how good he could be defensively if he puts everything together. He did chase some pitches out of the zone. Swing was a little bit inconsistent at times, but when he made contact, it came off the barrel really well. Some hard base hits through the left side, hundreds off the bat. When we're just looking at the TrackMan data, 100 off the bat, 102 off the bat. And a guy who's putting the ball in play with authority, for sure.
It's a good year for Puerto Rico. 2016 will be in the draft, and Delvin Perez is the best guy down there right now. And I mean, he's definitely a name that people are going to have to keep an eye on. going forward. I mean, he's been around this summer, but like that's definitely one of the top players on the island this year.
Mm-hmm. Mario Feliciano, the catcher, another one. Francisco Thomas, Luis Curbelo, Jose Lair, another one who I wanted to see a little bit more of this week, kind of evaded me. But Francisco Del Valle, a really, really good year in Puerto Rico.
Alan Romero, mm-hmm. Ramon Rodriguez, both catchers. Yelen Rodriguez is a lefty pitcher who I got to see throw to Ramon Rodriguez. And there's definitely something there, some projectable stuff. And I mean, it's there are just a lot of them. And Puerto Rico's been down a little bit the last couple of years since Correa, really. But this year is shaping up to be a good one. And I haven't quite finished it yet, but you'll be able to read a little something about most of these, the Puerto Ricans and how they fared and how the class is starting to shape up pretty soon over at baseballamerica.com.
Yeah, that's a good point. Baseballamerica.com. Click on our high school tab, and you can see all the stories that we've been pumping out on Jupiter. There's some really interesting stuff. Mike, you did a story on Gianluca Delatri, this big 6'6" New Jerseyan with the most Italian name in the class by far, but also, an interesting guy on the mound too. North Carolina commit.
Yeah, we mainly just traded marinara sauce recipes and talked lasagna, but there was a little baseball talk in there as well. He is a, like you said, he's a big righty, 6'6", 240 pounds, and, is a UNC commit, and, he was impressive, he was the guy who gave up the run for the Canes, the one run they gave up the entire week.
He gave up all the runs.
Yeah, he gave up all of the runs that they gave up, but, he's a guy who, he touched 92, he lived more in the high 80s to around 90 or so. But a guy that you just look at the frame, you look at his mechanics, a guy that you could definitely, project a bit to throw harder, to add some velo, to touch the mid-90s at some point, and, is still kind of working on that breaking ball a little bit, and the changeup. But the thing that's really, at least to me, that's interesting about him is his father was a long-time strength and conditioning coach in the NBA and someone who's biomechanically certified. So he's been basically, Delatri's pitching coach his whole life and teaching him about mechanics and the importance of straight lines and balance and all that kind of, I'm not a biomechanics major, so I can't really go into all of that. But, he's someone who's very aware of his mechanics and very aware of, that process and what works and what's not going to work, and obviously is a bright kid and a good head on his shoulders. And so, we'll see, if he gets to UNC or not, but, he's certainly someone who stood out and someone that, you could see down the line being,
an impact. 2015 Gatorade Player of the Year in New Jersey as a junior. I believe he committed to UNC the beginning of this summer, or maybe in the spring, but had a lot of interest from SEC, ACC schools. Another interesting thing about him, he goes to Christian Brothers Academy in New Jersey, and as does Evo Shield Canes catcher Brandon Martorano, so another UNC commit. Both of them, so they're teammates at CBA, teammates on the Evo Shield Canes, and then potentially could be teammates if they both make it to campus as well. Both guys with high ceilings too. So I guess to move on, anybody want to pick somebody else on the board? We could talk about Yaisel Sierra. I mean, they're the Cuban guy who was there to pitch the exhibition game in the beginning of the week. Sierra, 94, 96, pretty good late slider. A guy who looked like he was pretty much ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, I was at that game with you, obviously. He was definitely the most impressive pitcher. He was slightly older than most of the players there. He was born in 91, 7 years older than the youngest opponent he faced that day. But you know, it was good, and it was very interesting that he was at the game, or it, you know, in the tournament to begin with. That game itself didn't count towards the standings, but you know, I guess the Astros you know, kind of got the hookup from I need to look up the name, but they were able to get him for the game, and he really showed well, and there were a lot of guys watching, and you know, the team that he's on there, the Astros scout team, obviously was loaded with prospects, so there were a lot of it was great for everyone there, you know, that it was just a lot of eyes there, and it's a little bit different set of eyes too, because you have the international scouts coming in to watch Sierra, and they wind up getting a look at Perez and Bichette and the other guys. But it was Charlie Gonzalez, the Astros senior scouting advisor, and he runs the Astros scout team, so he was able to make that connection there for them. Mm-hmm. And then there were two other Cubans that worked out not too far away from Jupiter. It was just a workout during the weekend that were interesting to see as well, a little bit away from the tournament. So it was a very Cuban weekend down there too.
Yeah, we ate at a Cuban restaurant down there, and I mean, I don't remember my meal very vividly. I remember it being adequate, yeah. Good sandwich down there, but kind of ran into the language barrier.
That was a difficult experience for sure. We did get our food though. My arroz con pollo was muy bien. I enjoyed it, so you know, we got a little taste of Cuban.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the highlights of the trip was certainly Bebe's chicken and waffles. Voted 3 straight years the best chicken in the state of Florida, and with our help, they could be the fourth straight year.
Well, after this podcast, it's pretty much a done deal.
Pretty much. I enjoyed it. I had a good time.
We have visual evidence of your enjoyment.
Yeah, maybe I'll throw that on our BA Instagram, me smiling next to chicken and waffles.
Yeah.
I think maybe I've talked a little too much about chicken and waffles. Let's see. Back to the board.
You know, a guy that, you know, I'm not sure where he would rank as far as a prospect, but I know he's a guy who interested you and who interested me as well. He's a 2017 right-hander, very funky, Andres Alvarez.
Oh, yeah, he was... So that's a good point, because I was about to bring up the team we saw him against. So the Texas Scout Yankees, just some of the better players from the state of Texas put together on that team. They ranked all week to the point where as the playoffs rolled around, you know, I kind of saw them as a team that might compete for the whole thing. And then they run into GBG Marucci and this guy Alvarez,
yeah,
who was Funk Master Flex. He was throwing sidearm with like kind of a really deceptive release. And right-hander who's like 84, 87, good little slider. He carved them up. It was really impressive.
No, I like him. He's a big boy too. I mean, his lower half. I mean, I heard some scouts throwing around some Bartolo comps.
Yeah, I mean, he was impressive, and I think that's another interesting element to this whole event is there. You know, yes, there's a lot of pro scouts here to evaluate players, but also there's college coaches out here doing their homework for these 2017 class, the uncommitted 2016s, there are still a handful. 2018s really kind of setting the groundwork for A, who they want to offer scholarships to, you know, B, who they're considering and who they're going to plan on following up on in the spring.
Right. While we're talking GBG Marucci, I wanted to bring up Ben Baird, you know, who he did a lot of hitting this week. He's a Washington commit. He's probably going to go to school. It seems like it. You know, we'll see in a few months, obviously, but you know, that's a guy that you know, had a very loud week with the bat, just hitting ropes off of whatever, you know, off of hard throwers, off of the soft tossers, you know, whoever he was hitting and hitting with authority, really.
Mm-hmm. Baird, an interesting guy who's kind of solid tools across the board. Nothing like explosive about him, but when you look at the sum of his parts, he's a really good player. You know, a guy who broke his finger in his first swing into the area code games and stuck around. You know, he was not available to come in and hit at the area code games, but used as a pinch runner. You know, was still very much a part of that SoCal Brewers team. And then, you know, a week and a half later, he's in the PG All-American game, and he raised more money for Rady's Children's Hospital than any other player. So an interesting athlete, and then a really interesting person. His father has an NFL background, so just a lot of really interesting things with him. That GBG Marucci team, they came to play. They ran into the buzzsaw that was the Evo Shield Canes, but a really competitive group of players. When you look at that lineup, 1-9 or 1-11 with the extra hitters that they were allowed to use, a lot of guys who are committed to power conference colleges, guys with pro aspirations potentially out of high school. Really good squad.
I mean, it's 5 UCLA commits on that team, and that's a pretty good indication of the talent level.
Right, and I believe, I mean, Kevin Gowdy did not pitch, but he was on that roster.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Jones, if I remember correctly, mm-hmm. was big physical left-handed hitter on that team. I wish I would have been able to see him a little bit more.
2017, Hunter Green.
He wasn't playing when I saw that team, but he's, in terms of tools, in terms of the 2017s with tools, he's among the best. Yeah, that was a really interesting team to watch. I think we glossed over them a little bit earlier. I mean, when we talked about Josh Lowe, but the Atlanta Braves scout team / Ohio Warhawks, which was something we saw a couple of times, was you know, travel programs combining with the organization as a scout team. We saw that with the Astros, the Mets, with the FTB Tucci and the Orlando Scorpions. But the Braves had a really good team, a really deep team.
They absolutely did. I mean, like I mentioned, I spent a lot of the time watching Georgia and Florida kids, and so I was watching that Braves scout team. And you know, we mentioned Lowe, and he's obviously a very good one. But Carter Kieboom as well, their shortstop, and you know, he's got a lot of feel for hitting. He's a Clemson commit, but I mean, he's a potential first rounder, just like Lowe is. So it was a very good infield there for that Braves scout team, especially.
Mm-hmm. And then you had Davis Daniel, who I think, you know, had, you know, probably some of the better growth of any player at this event. A right-handed pitcher who was up to 94 this week, up to 94 twice. He pitched twice in two different outings. You know, when I saw him earlier in the summer, he was throwing from multiple slots, kind of being more of a deception and funk kind of guy. But when he's throwing from his normal three-quarter slot, watch out, because especially if he's up to 94 consistently going forward as he's filled out his frame and gotten a little bit stronger, a really good week for him. Akil Baddoo, a guy who has some twitchy ability. Jaquez Williams, left-handed hitting first baseman with some sock in the bat. It was a really good group.
Yeah, Weston Bizzle, 2017 Vandy commit, who he's got a lot going on in that delivery.
The business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's a very interesting arm. And Jonathan Yon.
John.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big left-handed body that you know, there was definitely a lot to see there.
Was super interesting with that. He had a kind of a deep shoulder coil, so he was kind of deceptive, and like his getting a good amount of separation in that delivery, ball kind of jumping on you a little bit. It was only, it's pretty impressive velocity from the left side. We're talking about 86, 89 at that age, but it looks even harder than that with how deeply he releases it. Is there anybody in your mind, guys, who we haven't gone over yet that kind of sticks out as a, you know, either a premium prospect or somebody who had a really interesting story this week?
You know, we talked a little bit about the Texas scout team Yankees,
right?
But a couple of specific players, Ulysses Cantu, who has a great name and
six name,
yeah, For sure. You know, him along with Hudson Sanchez.
7 name.
Yeah.
Maybe well, 80.
You're a little biased.
Maybe 80. Hudson Sanchez?
I don't know.
Great
we,
name.
I think
it's
we need an outside
those are both 5 names.
I think Ulysses Cantu is a better name, but Hudson Sanchez is a great
well,
name.
We'll discuss that after
recording. We'll take this outside.
Yeah, we'll take it outside.
in any event, you know, Ulysses Cantu is a guy who, I mean, every time I've seen him, he's raked.
He can too hit.
I don't know about that one, Hudson. I really don't know about that one.
He really can hit.
He really can hit. He didn't fare as well on the pitching side in Jupiter. Did a little better at area codes from what I remember on the mound. But
mm-hmm.
He's hit it both times that I've seen him. I have a vine of him raking that I feel like all his teammates and friends have revined
mm-hmm.
At this point. But, yeah, he's just an interesting guy. I just don't know how you get him out.
Yeah, he was, you know, and we talked about Alvarez, the funk master from the right side earlier, and facing Cantu, it was like, okay, well, you go to Jupiter, you can see guys face premium velocity, good pitching, and then you get to see how Cantu handles himself facing that kind of guy, a guy who's a really difficult angle. The first time, you know, Cantu, I believe he struck out looking on the outer half, on a questionable call on the outer half, but then the second time at the plate, he got a pitch that he was looking for, and he just hammered it up the middle for a base hit. He saw the ball really well. And that, in addition to, you know, him hitting line drives out of the yard. You know, he had a couple home runs. I saw them both. They were both pretty low trajectory shots that I think would be classified as line drives at, you know, at the big league level. A really impressive week for him. Sanchez hit the ball hard consistently. Also on that team, Dustin May, 6'6". 190, 185 pound guy who was 89, 92. Pretty sharp breaking ball. Late bite to his breaking ball. He had a really interesting performance. And he was well known coming in. He had been, at the Metropolitan Baseball Classic. And he's been playing for, you know, a scout team in Texas. So not a mystery, just a player I hadn't seen before who was pretty impressive. Shea Langeliers, a catcher for that team. Hunter Coleman, really another one of those things. And I'm repeating myself just because I like all these players, but that team really deep. I thought Cole Turney, who Teddy you wrote about 2017. Who Turney is an appropriate name because he turned on a lot of balls. He's ripping balls into the right field corner, has some speed to him, a really interesting athlete.
Yeah, I mean, definitely he, you know, he was one of the younger players on the team, and he was mentioning how, like, he was trying to get with Cantu to talk about hitting, very cerebral, Arkansas commit, and, I mean, that's definitely a name to watch for 17. And I got another 17 outfielder for you, you know, on the Ontario Blue Jays, hashtag Team C, Cooper Davis. You know, he looks like he really can go get the ball out in center field, and you know, he had a good week. The Jays also ran into the buzzsaw that was the Canes. They're in the quarterfinals. They gave them a pretty decent game though. That was only a 3-0 game, which for the Canes was probably the closest game they played.
Probably.
You know, but Cooper Davis was definitely a good one on that team.
And Vanderbilt commit. Some strength, really good center fielder. Guys who's, it seems like up there, the legends start early. I mean, we knew about Josh Naylor, you know, when he was 14, 15. Demi Rimoloy, 14, 15.
Part of it is that those, I mean, the way that they run their stuff up there, I mean, the Blue Jays have spent all fall, you know, they only just got back to Canada now. They've been in the States for like 2 months going around playing college teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people get to see them face college, good college level arms. I mean, they played Oklahoma this fall, they played Virginia this fall, they played Florida State this fall, and they're using wood, and you know, they're going around and they're barnstorming basically, and
mm-hmm.
So I mean, it can only help those kids really.
Yeah, they get to see really polished competition, and then in the springtime they go down to spring training, they play against minor league teams, they play at least the the junior national team mm-hmm. does. The Ontario Blue Jays do play against pretty good teams down there as well. But the junior national team got to literally play against the actual Blue Jays.
Right.
And so if you go dig on YouTube, you can see Mike Soroka striking out Russell Martin, for example. I'm not sure if that's exactly who struck out, but you can see them facing big league competition, so you get a good feel of, you know, how that works or how that translates to the next level. But yeah, they were an interesting group with Davis, Nick Howie, a player who I saw, you know, hit the ball pretty hard in one at bat, and then I mentioned Bell Zovic earlier, a guy with an interesting little slider. Some feel for a changeup, upper 80s, 6'3", 6'4", big physical guy, wide shoulders, room to fill. Another, you know, a guy with potential on that team. I'm just going to take one look at the board. Let's each go one more player, and then we can wrap this thing up. We're at about 35 minutes right now. So, Mike, looking at the board or looking at your notes, you know, who's one more player who you'd like to kind of break down a little bit here?
Sure, yeah. I would say we have talked a lot about a lot of these guys. I'll give you two. I'll give you two. I didn't see him much in Jupiter, but I've seen him a lot in the past. Cooper Johnson mm-hmm. is just, as far as catching prospects go, I mean, he's great. And I've enjoyed conversations with him. He's just a very bright kid. He's very cerebral. He's, you know, easily one of the best quotes just from a journalistic perspective, you know, talking to a player, someone who can break down other players, someone who really has a deep understanding of the game. And of course, that's what you want as a catcher. Someone who seems very fundamentally sound, you know, behind the plate, and, you know,
outstanding flexibility.
Yeah. He really stands out. And, you know, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention him at some point. And then, another guy, Bo Bichette, you know, again on that Astros, that loaded Astros team, was a guy who he was a bit up and down this week, you know, but obviously he has the bloodlines there, with Dante and, his older brother, Dante Jr. as well. And, you know, he's interesting just with his swing mechanics and
big time bat speed with that swing. I mean, it doesn't, you know, it's not orthodox. It doesn't look conventional, but it's worked for him quite a bit on the showcase circuit, and it did pretty well this week. At least when I was over there, he made pretty good contact, pretty hard contact.
Yeah, and you know, I talked with him a little bit just about those mechanics, and it's not, you know, something that anyone really showed him. It's not something his father taught him. It's just something he kind of picked up along the way. And you know, people have tried to change him in the past, but it works. It's worked for him, and you know, it's, you know, continued to work so far. So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, that continues, you know, in pro ball or, you know, wherever he goes to.
Mm-hmm. Teddy, same question.
I'm gonna go with left-hander Andrew Baker from Chet Lemon's Juice. I saw him pitch. He also plays center field, and he does that pretty well too. But he threw a complete game shutout in you know, the Juice's first game of the tournament, which was very impressive. He was more upper 80s. He
struck out like 14 guys.
I believe it was 15 strikeouts against the Red Scout team, which, again, we've mentioned them, but, you know, Cooper Johnson, was we were just talking about, you know, is a member of that team.
Alec Trela, another guy.
Alec Trela had week. He actually broke up the no-hitter in the fifth inning. Cooper Johnson was not playing that game. But, nonetheless, Baker pitched very well. He's shown more velocity in the past, but he backed off a little bit and was just commanding the ball exceptionally. And he throws this slider that they were setting it up very well, and guys just were not hitting it at all. You know, obviously you have 15 Ks. There's a lot going right for you that night. And you know, Florida commit, two-way potentially. I don't know which way pro scouts are leaning right now, though. So that'll be an interesting one to watch as the, you know, as his high school season gets going there in January.
Yeah, I mean, Baker's a really, really interesting guy. I mean, as a pitcher, I mean, he's very polished. He has feel for his breaking ball to both sides of the plate. Doesn't lose bite when he's when he's throwing it to his arm side. Consistent, really, and his fastball has some zip on it too, even at 85, 88, whatever it was down in Jupiter. And I feel like he's been up to as high as 92.
I think it's 93 is what he's touched. Yeah, he was more like 87, 89, but I believe he touched 93 at East Coast.
Yeah, so he's got arm strength. I mean, the body doesn't really profile as like a, as a rotation type. I mean, when you just look at 5'10 or whatever he is, but he's got touch and feel as a pitcher. And then as a left-handed hitter, he's really, really, really interesting.
He is very fast.
Quick. He's got loose wrists. There's some materials. You can cook with that. There's a lot going on there.
Minimally, the Gators are going to get a very good player.
Yeah, minimally. It was a really good week for him. I mean, especially to just go down there and dominate against quality competition like that.
There were a lot of guys watching that game. That was a night game, so there are fewer games to begin with, and there were a lot of eyes on that particular game.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of, we could probably have two podcasts on the Florida Gators rotation right now. But that team right now, just even sitting around, listening to the chatter or talking with other college coaches, that Florida Gators team, when you think about AJ Puck, one of the best in the country, Logan Shore, Dane Dunning, Alex Baeto, and then Sean Anderson, Jackson Coar, Brady Singer.
We're recording this on Friday the 30th. The Gators are playing, I think it's a 5-inning scrimmage today. The two pitchers scheduled, Brady Singer, Jackson Coar.
Yeah, Coar, guy who... I was on the Jackson Coar train in the spring. A guy from Charlotte Christian, who was a really impressive command, three-pitch guy in high school, projection guy, and it sounds like he has lived up to a little bit of that projection in his first year at Florida. So I guess final thoughts, guys. This was each of your first time, in Jupiter covering this event specifically. You guys have Teddy at least has been there before. So what were your thoughts on the week? That was A, in terms of talent, B, in terms of the atmosphere and the environment.
Well, I mean, when people talk about Jupiter, and you hear a lot about the golf carts. How everyone parks their, how all the scouting directors park their golf cart behind the plate, and when you see big games, how many golf carts show up at the fields, and all of that's true, and it's all very interesting, and the talent is exceptional and everything. But what I found to be very interesting was the amount of people that come back. Like, maybe this was a weird year in that maybe this doesn't happen all the time, but this year Tyler Beattie was there, Carson Fulmer was there, Brendan Rodgers was there, Ash Russell was there, Bo Burrows was there,
Mookie Betts
was there, Brad Wilkerson was there, Fred McGriff was coaching a team there, Chet Lemon obviously is coaching a team there, just on and on and on. And it's really just interesting that these are travel ball teams, and for the most part, these teams are not, there are exceptions to this, but there are a lot of teams that are put together just for this event, those scout teams, and there are a lot of organizations that kind of are far-flung organizations where, they play throughout the summer, but, it's not like these kids have spent an inordinate amount of time together. But there's something that brings these guys back to this event, and Ash Russell told me that they're already hoping that they can come back next year. It'll depend on what their schedules look like and everything. But they enjoyed coming back so much that they hope they can do it again. And so that's fascinating. And this event has really grown into an industry showpiece because there's so many executives there and scouts there that. That just brings in a whole lot of other people that are looking to get with them. They're a mess of agents that are obviously there for a whole number of reasons, but you know, I mean, that they're getting FaceTime with people. It's a mini convention basically.
Yeah.
I don't think it was an accident that there was a Cuban workout scheduled for 30 minutes south of Jupiter that week. I know there was a lot of reasons completely outside of Jupiter to schedule it then, but you know, there were a lot of benefits as well. So, you know, as this tournament continues to grow, it's like 16 years old now. It's just very interesting to see just the wide ranging groups of people that are there. It's scouts, it's directors, it's executives, it's college coaches. Pretty much everyone every group is represented there in some way.
Mm-hmm. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you realize just the sheer magnitude of the event and just how big an operation it is until you're there and until you see they looked like 50,000 golf carts because I was trying not to get run over, everywhere I was going. We unfortunately did not have a golf cart this go around, but maybe next year. We did make a clutch move and bought some lawn chairs and...
Oh, yeah.
That really worked out.
The Walmart lawn chairs.
That was a game changer.
And we were able to return those at the end of the week because what were we going to do? Bring those on the plane?
No, you can't do that.
No.
You can't do that.
You got to return them and then buy a new luggage bag if you're me and yours broke. So
I just brought my giant bag on the plane and held up the takeoff because it didn't fit in the overhead compartment. So that was that was that experience. But yeah, no, it's, I think Teddy really hit the nail on the head, so I'm not going to go on a long spiel here. But really it's just a huge operation, and it does feel kind of like a convention just with how many different people are there. And, you know, really everyone in baseball, everyone who's anybody, is there. And obviously the talent is great too, because we've talked for a while now about some of the prospects, and I feel like we only scratched the surface.
Yeah, I could pick 10 more names off this board right now. Yeah.
I mean, there's at least one GM in attendance, and many college head coaches. Like it's not a small event at all.
No, I kind of want to name 10 more guys.
Just real quick, just right, run off 10 guys.
All right, Easton McGee, 6'6", right-hander, up to 93, commanded for 7 innings, some feel for a breaking ball, Kentucky commit. Alec Manoah, big physical right-hander, 91-94, breaking ball a lot better than it had been in the past in my looks. Matt Cleveland, physical right-hander, as my alarm goes off. Oh, man, that's just poor form.
Hey, it's all right.
Not detracting from the talent, Matt Cleveland, a guy who was good body, right-handed pitcher, fastball is 90-93, breaking ball, again, another guy whose breaking ball improved. Brendan McCabe, the screamer, a guy who, 2017, who sounds like Mariah Sharapova when he throws the ball because he grunts. He really, literally grunts very loudly. The mechanics are interesting. Hat comes off every time he throws, but it's 91, 92 with a really, really good curveball. Ryan Hare, a left-handed pitcher from Hudson, North Carolina, plus town name, a left-handed pitcher who commanded, was 88, 90, touched 91 for 7 innings for the Evo Shield Canes. Let's see, who else do we have on here? Let's see, we talked about Gavin Lux, a guy who had, I think he had 8 hits down there for playing for Chicago Scouts Association and didn't play much in the first game. Wiry guy with some fast twitch ability. Nolan Jones hit a home run down there, a guy who's gotten progressively better every step of the way on the showcase circuit. Playing third base a little bit this week, has been a shortstop. Will probably, I would assume, play shortstop. Really good arm strength, power to all fields. You know, he almost poked one. I saw him bend over to go get one on the outside part of the plate and basically poke at it and almost went out of the yard to the opposite field. Alex Kirilloff, another Pennsylvania guy. He's more from from Western Pennsylvania, but five-tool kind of guy who, you know, I had one ground ball, 4-1-5 to first base, impacting the ball when he got to it. Brandon Martirano, catcher for the Canes, who I believe was the MVP of the entire thing.
He was.
Cool stuff. And we haven't really even gotten into Joe Rizzo, who's one of the better hitters in this class, a left-handed hitter from Virginia, 5'11", wide shoulders. Some teams like him as a catcher. He's worked out as a catcher a little bit. Quick twitch guy. If you watch this guy in batting practice, he stands out. He can rip the ball a long way to his pull side. Austin Langworthy, Khalil Lee, other guys, left-handed hitters on the Evo Shield Canes. I think I've made my point.
The Canes, before we finish, 5 straight lefties to open the game. Very interesting.
Yeah.
That's all I had on that.
did they face somebody intentionally used a lefty?
Somebody used a lefty and it did not work.
Yeah, it's still
I'm pretty sure they run ruled that game too.
Yeah. They're good. So with that, who's the guy? Schultz was up to 95, 96. So
yeah.
So I think we've pretty much talked about most of the guys that are on this board so far. Forgive us if you are a really good prospect and we did not mention you. It's only a 50-minute podcast. Guys, final thoughts. Maybe one word. I think I know Mike's word.
I think it's...
Chimichanga?
Chimichanga.
That's an inside joke.
Also, another word.
Yeah.
Sunscreen.
You're still peeling, huh?
A little bit.
Teddy?
I don't know. It's a big event. It's hard to capture Jupiter in a word that isn't Jupiter.
Jupes?
No.
Jupiter?
No. I'm not going to call it Jupes. Sorry, Mike Rooney. I know you're listening.
All right. Thanks for listening. Obviously, you can check out all our written content on baseballamerica.com. Click on the high school tab. We've got plenty of really interesting stories up there. I'm going to have a long notebook up there on Monday morning. Thanks for the download, and we really appreciate it. Have a good one.
Chimichanga.